You. We're going to be looking in the book of Acts this morning, and we are finishing up our series today, This Changes Everything. This is a series that we started on Easter Sunday, and I wanted to, just by way of letting you know where some of the study that I've done and some of the different resources I have, I wanted to let you know some of the things that I've been using in getting this together. One of the great books that was written on a relationship with the Holy Spirit is called Secrets of the Secret Place. This is written by Pastor Bob Sorge, who has been here with us before, has a tremendous ministry and relationship with the Lord and what it means to be on fire for Jesus and knowing that the work of the Holy Spirit. And so Secrets of the Secret Place, we actually used to have a number of these copies available, but you can get them through Amazon or whatever. This isn't necessarily a plug for his book, but I want you to know where some of the things are coming from. Another one that's kind of a classic that I use every time I am doing a message on the Holy Spirit, I go back to this book. It's something that really taught me a lot when I was in Bible school. A.W. Tozer wrote The Knowledge of the Holy. It's a short read. You can see it's not a very thick book, but it is filled with valuable information on what it means to have the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And I highly recommend this book above even some of the other ones that we're going to be talking about. But I usually give a quick perusal of this book and get additional information out of it every time I talk about some of the things that are happening with the Holy Spirit. Dennis Bennett wrote a book that we also used in Bible school. It's called The Holy Spirit and You, another book that just has valuable information. I can't express enough how much this, going through this book and just kind of refreshing my memory of some of the things that we learned and we went through. I do this for you to let you know that many times people wonder, well, what kind of information, how can I learn more about this? And there's just volumes of information on having the Holy Spirit working in your life. But these are some of the go-to books for me. And so The Holy Spirit in You, Dennis and his wife wrote that one. And then one that was just kind of newer to me, about 4 years ago, I was introduced to this book, and I did a series that was based solely on this book. We actually had it available in the back, and we went through chapter by chapter about 4 years ago on this particular book. It's called The God I Never Knew by Robert Morris. And Robert Morris is a pastor of a large church in Texas. And sometimes when you get into these mega churches, you think, okay, well, maybe they're not really open to the things of the Spirit. They want to protect the 7,000 to 8,000 people that come to their church, and they don't want to lose members, and so they don't talk openly about the Holy Spirit, and you get into this mega church mentality. I can say I've read a number of books. He's got about 5 or 6 books out. 2 of them are on marriage. And another one is written on biblical finance that we've done a series on here as well. It's just been fantastic to be connected with his writing. But Robert Morris does not hold back anything when it comes time to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'm really amazed at that, because he is what we would consider in our culture a mega church pastor. And so you automatically think, well, he's not. There's going to be some stuff that he leaves out. He doesn't. It's a very, very good book, very good read. And that's where I've gotten some of the information. Something else that you may not be as familiar with, but we've used the Bible as well. This book, I highly recommend this book. If you want to know anything about Jesus at all, get one of these if you don't have one of these. But I have spent countless hours of just perusing this and asking the Lord, you know, Father, there are so many things. When you start talking about who God is, where could you possibly begin? And when do you stop? You know, I have this series that we're doing. And so, you know, the idea that came to mind was to call it The Final Chapter, because it's the last in this series. But there's so much more. Can I tell you openly, I have not even begun to scratch the scratch that's a scratch on the surface. I haven't even begun to get into the various things that are there. What I've wanted to do is make sure that we get into some of the aspects that are most commonly laid out for us, that maybe there's some confusion, or maybe you've seen something or heard something, or you've been a part of particular movements at different times in church history, through the 80s and 90s and mid-2000s, and what did all of that mean, and how did it all come together? And so some of those things I haven't hit specifically on, because what I've wanted to do is make sure that we stay mainly with what Scripture is guiding us through. I want to make sure that we're reading the Bible and seeing this is what the Bible says about what the Holy Spirit is supposed to be doing. One of the things that we looked at is that the Holy Spirit is in fact a person. Is in fact a person. And he is a working member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we spent an entire morning just talking about the fact that he is a he is a person. He has a definition. He has a specific job that he does. And so if there's some of those things in the series that you've missed, they're available online, and we hope that you can get caught up maybe that way. The other thing that we looked at is that you can have, last week we looked at understanding and knowing the mind and the will of God. You have the Holy Spirit within you. If you remember, we looked at a verse last week that said, we will make our home in him. And we see that what God is doing is when we ask the Holy Spirit to come in our lives, what we're doing is we're saying, God, we want the Holy Spirit to come and to teach us about Jesus Christ. We need to know. So when you open up the Bible, it doesn't all of a sudden everything just blends together. I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to start and where to end. You ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life and to teach you about the things of the Lord. And in that, we find out that we can know the mind and the will of God, mostly because he has a mind and he has a will. Isn't that nice to know? The only God that is worshipped on this planet that does have a mind and a will. The only God that does have a plan for your life. The only God that promises to inhabit the praises of his people. The only God who comes into your life as soon as you ask him to. We will make our home in him. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at specifically where the disciples were and what was happening. Basically, the introduction of the Holy Spirit was on the day of Pentecost. Now, this is something that we are going to be looking specifically at Scripture. And so if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to open up to the book of Acts. And you're going to be in chapters 1, 2, and 3 this morning. And then we're going to jump around a little bit further on in the book towards the end of the message this morning. Also know this, that very limited time. And so this morning, again, is just going to be a broad brushstroke of the facts that are in the Bible, specifically speaking about the outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There is so much more that could be covered. There's actually more that we could do. And I believe that there's actually a need and a desire for us to have specific teaching on this. If you want to, one of the things that you could do is get into the cycle of the International School of Ministry. The ISM classes that we offer here give great detail to the move of God, what it means to how you can read and learn from the Old Testament, how you can read and learn from the New Testament. The first couple of trimesters that are there are designed specifically as an introduction. The Helps ministry is involved there, but there's a section there also that talks about having the Holy Spirit work in your life. Dr. Kennedy and Kelly Coulter are both working as proctors for that course. And if you have any additional desire for it, I want you to know that the church is offering further teaching. Is everybody hearing that? And we cannot get into all of the nuts and bolts in this morning, especially as long as I keep talking about the introduction. We haven't even begun the message yet, right? And so I want you to know that there's so much more that's available, and the International School of Ministry class has specific teachings that are on these topics that you would be able to get deeper in. The day of Pentecost, one of the things that if you know anything about church history, there was actually a feast that was happening on the weekend that Jesus was crucified. The Passover was happening. And the Passover, it's amazing how the church calendar was lining up with the events that were happening right there. And nobody was paying attention to the fact that Jesus was going to be sacrificed on the weekend of the Passover. I think that if the Jewish leaders were a little bit more in tune with what was going on, they would have tried everything they could have done to actually avoid killing Jesus on that weekend. Because all that happened was prophecy and realization of the Old Testament of the sacrificial lamb going to the cross and having his blood spilled for us was all happening on the Passover weekend. It was an incredible aligning of the prophetic words that were happening. It was incredible aligning of everything that happened in the Old Testament. And I've thought about this many times. I thought, man, if they were just paying attention, maybe they would have kept Jesus in jail through the weekend and maybe killed him on Monday instead. But see, they weren't operating on their own. Can I get an amen? Even at the end of Jesus' life, the circumstance was gruesome and awful and terrible, and the hearts of men were turned against Jesus, but it had to happen the way that it did. It had to happen that way. During the feast of the Passover lamb, the greatest lamb went to the cross. And in hindsight, I bet you they were kicking themselves because now the Christians had an amazing story to tell of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lamb of God. Also, when Jesus appeared to the disciples, he was telling them that he was going to send the Comforter. And this has been the topic of the last few weeks of the Holy Spirit. And we see that John the Baptist, his baptism was in repentance. And he would say, repent. And he would talk about how you need to come and ask for forgiveness for your sins. And he baptized in water. And he would say, you know, come and ask for forgiveness and repent and turn towards the Lord. That was the baptism of John the Baptist. Jesus never baptized anybody in water. It never happened. Because it wasn't his baptism. John baptized people in water, and when John died, that was the end of that period of baptism. There wasn't a continuation of baptizing in water while Jesus' ministry was happening. It only resumed after the ascension into heaven. It resumed in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit for us to be baptized in fire. That's the baptism of Jesus Christ. And actually, it's given to us as a promise. Now, as parents, I want to speak to you specifically, those of you who have children. If you say to your child, I promise, da-da-da-da-da-da, does that need to happen? Does your child hold you accountable for what you promised to do? Now, I don't know, you know, some of you might be perfect parents, and I applaud you for being perfect parents. But there's been a few times where I've spilled out the word, I promise I'll do this thing with you. And then an uncontrollable circumstance arises. And I have to figure out a way to let my child down. We're going to do this. It can't happen the way that I thought it would happen. And you know the letdown. If you've ever been a parent and you've had to deliver that news, you know the letdown that is for that child. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that they would get a new and fresh understanding, and he promised that he would send them the Comforter. That was a promise that Jesus was not going to go back on. That was a promise that was definitely going to happen. And they needed to be in the right place at the right time. And in that moment, we come across the Feast of the Pentecost. Again, this is something that you need to realize is completely aligned with the Word of God. It is not some kind of, well, let's see, when would be a good time for us to go to Jerusalem? Jesus said, go and wait and be there. And then we have the day of Pentecost. This is when the revelation of the Holy Spirit came upon the followers of Jesus Christ. Scripture tells us very clearly that there was 120 there. That's a very interesting number. We've got 12 disciples, but yet we have 120 that are there waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come. And let's pick it up right there in Acts chapter 2. And verse 3. Acts chapter 2 and verse 3. And divided tongues as of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you say all with me? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the thing we see is that divided tongues as of fire appeared on them. And if we were all there, we would see that these are some key things. Each and all. These are some key words that you need to see there. That if we were all there, I would not have been able to see the tongue of fire on my head. I would have seen it on yours. I wouldn't have seen it on me. I would have been praying and waiting for the power to just say, all of a sudden, we were in the midst of a prayer meeting, and the Bible says, and a mighty rushing wind came through, and tongues of fire lit on their heads. We would have been in that setting, in that moment, and I would have looked over and been like, what? I don't know, did anybody, you know, is it me too? I mean, there was the evidence of the Holy Spirit appearing and coming to each and all. Can you say that with me? Each and all. This is not, okay, it was the disciples first, and as the people saw it, their faith began to increase, and maybe I can be like a disciple. Maybe I can, oh, God, let me just think a little bit harder, and maybe my flame, you know, maybe some of them got a little tiny flicker. It says each and all. Tongues of fire right on them. Former prostitutes, tax collectors, liars and thieves, up in that room praying, not knowing when, not knowing how, not knowing exactly even what was going to happen. To each and to all, the Holy Spirit came. This morning, as we go through this, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is for each and for all. It's for each and for all. That the desire to have this kind of encounter with Him is not based upon my social standing. It's not, okay, pastors, they need this thing. Well, not every pastor. Only pastors who are in independent, non-denominational churches. Only those pastors. Not everybody. And then, well, maybe even their elders and somebody who's really excited about worship, maybe they'll get it. Somebody who's really excited about evangelism. No, the Bible is very specific, is that if you desire to have a revelation of Jesus Christ for each and for all, it doesn't parse it out. Each and all. They were all filled. They all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We receive the Holy Spirit the same way that we received our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we were saved, we are saved by faith. You're saved by faith. That's what it is. I mean, I don't know for you, but for me, I didn't exactly notice an immediate change about me. I felt something different. Maybe you felt that way too. I felt something different. But after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I still had to get up in the morning and go to eighth grade class. Life was still happening. The difference is that I had faith that my sins were forgiven. How many of you can relate to that? The faith is that my life was changed. My faith is that I asked Jesus to come into my life and he would do what he said he was going to do. My sins were forgiven that day. And I went to my eighth grade homeroom and I sat there going, I am forgiven. I am not the same Phil, even though I look like the same Phil. I might even act like the same Phil for a little while. Can I get an amen there, right? You know, I gave my life to Jesus. Give me your milk money. No, I wasn't like that. But I was changed from the inside out because of my faith that Jesus had done exactly what he said he was going to do, is come into my life and changed me. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? By faith. You receive the Holy Spirit by faith. For one thing, Jesus said he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And he promised he would send the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I'm an each and an all. I wonder if all the eaches and alls could raise their hands. Are there any eaches and alls in here? Eaches and alls. Here we go. All right. We've got some eaches and alls here today. And so by faith, I receive the Holy Spirit. By faith, the same way. Flip back a little bit to Acts chapter 1. This is the promise. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. John baptized with water. I am going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, if you could just take a moment and see the importance of this. It's not based upon a movement. It's not based upon something that you saw on Christian television. It's not based upon reactionary things. It is simply this. The Holy Spirit desires to be activated in our lives. And what I need to do is, just like I stepped up into that water when I was 7 years old and I walked down into the baptismal in a Baptist church in Central South Carolina, and I walked in and the elders looked at me and said, do you believe Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior? And I said, yes. He dunked me down and I came back up and he said, you are a new creation. I was immersed in a Baptist church. My life went on a different course. And then by faith, when I was 13, I asked Jesus to come into my life. Because why? I knew that I had not made the commitment that was necessary. And I asked Jesus to come into my life. And then shortly before, I left South Carolina as a young child. I was about to turn 15 and we were moving. I was meeting with, I was in the downstairs basement of the Baptist church. And our youth pastor, Mike Lewis, began to share with us about things on the Holy Spirit. And I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. We're going to show that in a few minutes too. I have no idea what you're talking about, this Holy Spirit thing. He began to talk to us how important it was to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he looked at us, there's a room, I think there's probably about 12 or 13 of us in that basement. He said, anybody want to receive the Holy Spirit? And I couldn't stay in my seat, and I stood up and I went to the front, and I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. I was a little kid. I don't even know what you're talking about. He laid his hands on me, And I can tell you in that moment, by faith, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in that instant. My life went again on a different trajectory. Salvation took me in the direction of being open to the things of the Lord. The baptism of the Holy Spirit brought me to where I am today. Because when we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit working in us, it's not just a relationship of salvation. It's, God, what do you want me to do today? God, where are you going to? Who do you want me to speak to today? How do you want me to look, and how do you want me to function? How do you want me to act? I know that I'm not getting this all right. I know I'm not getting it all figured out, but how do you want me to be? God, I want to be sensitive. There's some things in my life that need to change, and God, I can't change them on my own. I appeal to heaven, and I ask the Holy Spirit to work in my life and to get these things out so that I can be more like you. I can hear from you. I can get these things out of my life. The Holy Spirit came into me that day. The Lord began to talk to me every time there was a prophet in the house, and I hated it. Shortly after that encounter, I was at a conference at my grandfather's Bible school. I was sitting in a meeting that had roughly about this many people in it. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden the guy speaking said, I have a word for somebody. My mom was sitting next to me. I gripped her hand and I said, I hope that he's not talking about me. And she looked at me and she said, why? Just as he said, you sitting there. What? Right? He said, I've called you to be a pastor. And I said, no, you didn't. And I argued with him right there. I gripped my mom's hand, and I was 15. I don't know how many 15-year-olds we have in here right now, but when you're 15, you don't grab a hold of your mommy's hand and cry on her shoulder. I cried, and I said, I don't want this, right out loud. But God was gracious. God was gracious. I want you to know that God began to lay some things out for me and say, this is the direction that I want you to go in. Why? Because John baptized with water, I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And I received that baptism having no clue what that really meant for my life. I wonder if anybody can attest to that as well. Having no idea what it really meant. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, after the Pentecost had come, after they had the tongues of fire, they spilled out into the streets, and Peter began to give one of the very first Holy Spirit-inspired sermons, and we say that outside of Jesus. Obviously, every time Jesus spoke, the Holy Spirit was working through him. But the very first time a Holy Spirit-inspired message began to flow, and they hear this message, and this is what they say. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? That is what the Holy Spirit does. Cuts us to the heart. And as a believer, I can tell you this, I can attest to it. Many times I've been sitting in various messages and various meetings throughout my walk with the Lord, and I've been sitting in my seat and I've been listening, and I felt the Holy Spirit go, this is for you. And I've been cut to the heart and said, God, I want to have something like that at work in my life. Shortly after I got here, still not fully knowing, just saying, I'm available, I can do whatever. The church was this way, saying the stage was up there. A gentleman came in and he was talking about the authority of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit working in your life. And he said, does anybody, and we were all up front, we'd all come, it was a morning meeting, so there wasn't a lot of us, there's about 20, 25 of us. It was a morning meeting, and we were all gathered up front. My wife was teaching at the time, she couldn't make that meeting. We're standing there, and he goes, who wants to just give themselves? I can't remember even the quote that he said. And the only thing that came to mind to me was Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And before I knew it, that was coming out of my mouth. Everybody just kind of turned and looked and said, we have an issue, right? That's what came to me as I just, and I remembered that guy who was blind and he was crying out. And eventually he said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the only thing I can think of is that those words were not my own. It was the Holy Spirit within me wanting to make sure that I made a connection on that morning. That speaker grabbed me after the meeting and got a hold of the pastor, and I was fairly new to the whole situation. And he took me and he said to the senior pastor, he said, "You need to get to know this guy. There's something that's going on." And that began the relationship that I have with Grace Fellowship Church. Why do I tell you this? Because none of it was my plan. I can't even tell you that I had a plan. One plan I had is I was going to marry Alexa. That was my plan. And my plan wasn't going to work as I was living in Syracuse. And so I thought, well, we're going to have to bridge this gap. I'm going to move to Titusville. I'm going to marry Alexa. We were engaged at the time. That was my plan. Marry Alexa and move. I had never lived in a town of 6,000 people before. Small town living just wasn't my thing. I used to get the comment when I would go into the grocery store or the gas station, "You're not from around here, are you?" I would come back from getting gas and tell Alexa, "I got another one. I don't know. What is it? You know, what do I got on me?" About 10 years in, I stopped getting those comments. Blend right in now. But all of that is because, why? I was cut to the heart. I wanted the Holy Spirit. Maybe some of you have been in a meeting before and you just know that the stirring of the Holy Spirit is within you, and maybe you stifle it and you go, "That's crazy." My benefit is I rarely think before I speak. So God uses that a lot. And I'll say something and somebody will go, "That was amazing." And I'll go, "What did I say? Let's write it down. I don't even know what I said." Because God is able to just work through us in these situations. Verse 38 says, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Amen? To our knowledge, about 5,000 people did that day. That's incredible. Repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. Repent, be water baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. This was all happening on the day of Pentecost. On the day that a feast was happening, they were all gathered. The scripture tells us they had come from everywhere. And when they came down, they were speaking in tongues, which is a separate thing that we need to spend some time on at another time in another place. I would love to be able to talk to you about the gift of tongues and what it means and how it works and what the operation of that is. But what happened was, in this particular instance, is while they were coming down and spilling into the streets, all the different people heard them speaking in their own native language. That's powerful. That's amazing. From all reaches of the known area, they were coming down. These people were walking down in the streets. And what's the knee-jerk reaction? These people are drunk. I was like, I didn't know you got the gift of speaking Chinese when you're drunk. But apparently somebody thought that. Excuse me, Mandarin. There is no Chinese. Yeah, you would call me on that at dinner tonight. I know you would. So I corrected myself. Ha, take that. You'd be like, "There's no Chinese language." All right. So then, for the promise in verse 39, "For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Where are we in this? "And for all who are far off." That's us. I don't know about this Holy Spirit thing. I don't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's for you. Right here. We are the ones who are far off. Some of us are way far off. The Holy Spirit wants to bring you back. But it's for all of us. It's for every single one of us. There's no exception. All and each. All who are far off. It's for their children, for them, and for all who are far off. This morning I want you to know this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not a fruity, flaky thing. It's a promise from Jesus Christ. And it's vital to your walk with the Lord. And it makes a very valuable difference in your life as a Christian. Do you struggle with addiction? Do you struggle with going down the same road over and over again? Do you have a hard time hearing from the Lord and you wonder why God isn't speaking to you? Do you have a hard time overcoming sin? Do you have some things in your life that you know need to be straightened out, but you can't get a handle on it? It's because what you did is you asked Jesus Christ into your life, but you did not give Him permission to change you from the inside out. Well, I'm going to heaven. Yes, you are. And you're going to look like Swiss cheese when you get there. Because you're going to make it. You are. I'm not here to tell you that you've got to do some other thing to go to heaven. The Bible says you can come to me. All you have to do is confess me that I am Lord. That's all you have to do. The Bible's very specific. But I wanted to be changed. I wonder if anybody else, do you want to be changed? I wanted to be changed. I wanted to be different. Apparently He was successful. He made me different. Made me very different. Apparently. But it's not because I stopped at salvation. It's because I said I wanted more. I've always wanted more. I get really excited when somebody says, you're going to get a fresh revelation today. I go, good. I'm tired of the previous one. I'm bored. I want more to do. I want to know Jesus in a new way. I want to get refreshed in Him. Well, this means that something different is going to happen in your life. Fine. If it's of the Lord, then let something different happen in my life. Can I get an amen? Let something unusual happen in me so that I can be in line with the Word of God. Fine. Humble me, because it's amazing how often the Lord will do that. Humble us. I'm about to finish here. I know I've gone a little bit over, but we got started just a few minutes late. Acts chapter 8. This is an example of the continuing outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. Acts chapter 8, now verse 5, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For He had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They asked Jesus Christ to come into their life. They asked for the forgiveness of sins, but they realized there was an additional thing that needed to happen, and they sent for someone who could pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Keep moving on. Acts chapter 10. This is in the midst of a something that Paul is talking to him in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 43. Paul is talking here. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. You see, there was a mentality that this was still only for those who believe, who were followers of the Jewish way. And we have a progression that happens, that salvation is taking place. And I would say to you, why not allow the Holy Spirit to be activated in your life? We've got the feast of the Passover that happened with Jesus. We've got the Pentecost going on. And then what's taking place is finally in its fullness, something that we, again, only scratch the surface on, is this idea of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also known as the Feast of Trumpets. I had an entire section on that that I wanted to get to, but we're going to need to kind of go over that at another time. Acts chapter 19 and verse 2. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? This is the word for some of you. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. There's many believers who fall into this category. Many people who say, well, I kind of know that there's a Holy Spirit, but I think the Holy Spirit is only for this group of people. You know, the uber dependent. You know, those who are really trying to make up for their sins need the Holy Spirit. We haven't even heard that there is one. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. I want you to see this morning, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism given and promised by Jesus Christ, and He will change your life forever. If you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life, you are saved and you are going to heaven. Absolutely. I'm not here to discredit that at all, and it would actually be anti-biblical to tell you that anything else needs to happen. But unfortunately, in the world that we live in, not just in this day and age, but the world in general, sin creeps in and life challenges come. And many times in your life, choices and decisions are made that don't have to be because you're not submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit. I didn't see this coming. I didn't know this was going to happen. I didn't mean to put myself in that place. I've had conversations with people who have said, I never saw this coming. Well, did you ever have a tweak from the Holy Spirit? Did you ever have a hesitation when you actually have to make a decision about something? And you go, what was that? Maybe I shouldn't do this. Or maybe I should. Right off we go. The leading of the Holy Spirit needs to be at work in your life. Are there evidences of the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Absolutely. But something that needs to happen before you even get into the evidences of the Holy Spirit is that you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct your life. That needs to happen. That needs to take place. And this morning, that's my appeal to you. Would you be willing to say, similar to what I did, that the Holy Spirit thing, I don't really get the full picture of it. And man, Pastor Phil ran through that thing this morning. I've got some resources here. You've got the scriptures in your lap. You've got the book of Acts to refer to. And you say, well, that's the Bible. Yes, it is. And your point is? These things were not reserved just for the Bible. The Bible was the manual to tell us how to function and how to live and where churches should be and how people's lives should be changed, like this young woman. The reason that this young woman came into this place and felt a change is because she sensed the Holy Spirit, whether she knew it or not. When people come in contact with you, are they sensing the Holy Spirit? Are they, something's different about, I'm having a conversation with you and I don't really... This morning, the Holy Spirit wants to come into your life and radically change who you are. Can you stand with me this morning? Father, we come before you right now in Jesus' name. And I know, Lord God, we have just kind of fireballed through this. But I know that there is a word that is penetrating the hearts of each and every one of us this morning. And Father, we submit to you. And just in these closing moments, if you're able to say, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are able to say this morning, I know for a fact, I have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants to come into your life this morning. As a matter of fact, He's already there. Some would say He's dormant. I don't like that language. He's just waiting for the release signal to come. This morning, if you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit over your life, just simply slip your hand up and say, this morning, I want to activate the Holy Spirit in me today. I want to activate the Holy Spirit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The Lord is speaking to many of you. Many of you, and there's probably some concern, I promise you. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. It's not an issue of forcing, it's an issue of, can I work in you? This morning, He wants to pour out on you a fresh revelation of who He is. Just a few more moments. Something that happens in Scripture, if you will allow time this morning, you can put your hands down. Something that's in Scripture is that hands were laid upon them and they received the Holy Spirit. You might be saying, well, Pastor Phil, you just tricked me. I did not. Because I'm not going to make you come up here. But I am going to ask you to allow me to do what Scripture says, that hands were laid on them and they received the Holy Spirit that day. Hands were laid on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The first two I'm going to ask to come up are my elders. I'm going to ask Rob and Scott to come and stand right here in front of the platform. As they step out from where they are, there they go. And I'm going to ask you in this moment, would you be willing to allow us to do what Scripture says, to lay hands on you so that you would receive the Holy Spirit? If that's you, just step out right from where you are this morning. Just step out. Don't think about it because you already raised your hand. Just come if you would like this right now in Jesus' name. I'm not going to seek you out and make you. But just come and begin to line up right across this whole platform, right across this area, shoulder to shoulder. Those of you who are at your seat, there's a couple of things. One, you must be either praying or you must be asking, Lord, should I be up there? Those are the two options right now. If you're at your seat, there's an assumption that you're either not ready for this particular step or you've already done this step and you have the Holy Spirit within you. So right where you are, I'm going to ask you to just begin to pray right now. Right where you're standing, just go ahead. The rest of this that's going on is going to be under your support, but I'm going to be speaking directly to our friends that have come forward this morning.